We're very thankful this morning to have each and every person on the call. And I would just say rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. God is good, not just summertime, but God is good all of the time. And all of the time, God is good. I don't know about you, but I'm happy to be alive. And so thankful to see the beginning of the new year, the first Sunday in 2021. Isn't that something? But God has been good to us. 2020 will be a year we will never forget. Nobody will forget that. And we know we are not out of the pandemic. Still going on. And we just have to trust in God. It's time for it to be over here. Make sure it happens. If you're on the call this morning, you're not a member of the Church of Christ, you're a very honored and a distinguished guest of the audience. And we appreciate you being on the call this morning with us. I pray you take your Bible, open it up, as we will study together from the book of Acts. And you need to know, especially if you have not been baptized, you're not a member of the Church of Christ, you need to start there and believe in that Jesus Christ died on that cross, not because you see it, but because the Bible teaches that he died on the cross, suffered, shed his blood, that washed his sins away in baptism. The same blood would purchase his church, his bride, and she would wear his name, the Church of Christ. And according to Acts 2, verse 47, the saved people are in the Church of Christ. That's it. That's what we teach, and that's what we believe, because that's what the Bible teaches. And so we're going to stay with just that. Now, those of us who are members of the Lord's church, if you fall by the wayside, you need to come home. Come home. Come home for the everlasting eternally. Too late. And so we encourage everyone. Now, let's turn to Acts chapter number 8. Thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Thy heart is not right in the sight of God. That's the primary thought I want to leave this lesson with this morning. As a means of recapping, let's remember that Stephen was one of the men who stood and preached their gospel and got killed as a result. They stoned him to death. And then they started persecuting Christians. The apostles were in, as I talked about last week, the church in Jerusalem. The only Church of Christ in Jerusalem had multitudes of members. And those Christians' lives were at stake. I want to say this real clear so you get my point. The leadership of that Jerusalem congregation sent them people to their houses. The apostles made the decision that their lives were at stake. And they made the decision to send those people home. I'm saying that for a reason, because the leadership are responsible for the members that they teach, like I'm responsible for those who are at Hollow Heights. And when there's danger to the membership, to the members' lives, leaders have to make decisions. I'm not by myself. I'm with all of our brothers that I know of. Believe just like I believe. And that's why you're at home. But let me tell you this, that the apostles did the same thing. And it wasn't because they didn't have faith. It wasn't because they didn't believe in God. It's because the people's lives were at stake. You would never read where any of the women and children were killed. Old grandmothers and grandfathers died because they were out there on the streets. It was Stephen and the men, like the apostles, who put their lives at stake. And so that's the decision leadership should make, protect the people. Now, how do I know they was in their homes? Well, we know that because Saul was standing there when Stephen got killed, got stoned. He was the one who was going into the home, telling the people and dragging them out from the home. We read about that last week. And so that's what happened. And so they was in their houses. It wasn't because they didn't have faith. It was because they were in danger. And so that needs to be clear. But you let your conscience be your guide. But at the end of the day, leaders of this congregation have to make the decision what's best interest of our members. And we're going to keep doing that. Now, in Acts chapter 8, in verse 14. See, now, we know that Samaria has received the word. They were taught by Philip. And that's important, as we talked about last week. The church in Jerusalem scattered. They went teaching the gospel. In Acts chapter 8, verse 14, said, when the apostles which were at Jerusalem, they're still in Jerusalem, that's where the apostles are, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, which are apostles. So two apostles hear that Philip had been preaching in Samaria, and it was a great joy in that city because people were obeying the gospel. So they had to send some apostles to him. There was a reason for it. There was something that Philip couldn't do that the apostles could do. And verse number 15 said, when they were come down, pray for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Who? Talking about the apostles. Pray for them. For who? For the people in Samaria. What people? The people who had obeyed the word of God. Now, why did the apostles pray? So that those who obeyed could receive the Holy Ghost. There's something here now. Watch this, verse 16. For as yet he was falling upon none of them. Only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Here's a key point, verse 17. Then laid they, talking about the apostles. Philip couldn't do it. The two apostles came to do something he couldn't do. That was lay hands on them that they may receive the Holy Ghost. Now, someone said, wait a minute, brother, because I thought we received the Holy Spirit when we were baptized in water for the remission of sin. We received what we call the gift of the Holy Spirit. And what does that mean? Acts 2:38, Peter told those people, 3,000, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit don't just come into your body. And that's what he's talking about there. For us, the Holy Spirit guides us through when we take in the word. So the gift of the Holy Spirit is found in Romans 8. The Holy Spirit is not the gift. The gift is eternal life. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. For the wages of sin is death. Watch this now. Here comes the gift. For the gift of God, who's God? Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Here's eternal life. That's why Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. John 3, verse 1 and the following verses. Because until you obey the Spirit gave us the word. And when the Spirit gives us what to do, and we're obedient to the Spirit, then we can have eternal life. If you don't ever obey the Bible, you never obey the Spirit of God. Ain't no Spirit come jump in you and make you get into baptism. You have to believe it. You have to believe water's in there. That water and blood is in there, not because you see anything, but because the Bible says baptism is for the forgiveness of sins. Revelation 1 and 5 tell us that the blood of Jesus washes away sins. Acts 22:16 says sins are washed away. So that's when you receive the gift, which is eternal life. Now, that's what we get today. However, the apostles had a miraculous form, measure of the Holy Spirit. Remember in Acts chapter 1, they was in the upper room. They was on their Pentecost. Jesus told them to go and wait for the, they had the promise of the Holy Spirit, which has a different purpose. The purpose, and I've talked about this in recent lessons, the purpose of them being baptized in the Holy Spirit is so they could write the New Testament and so that the apostle would be guided by the Holy Spirit. So this book we got did not come from men who were not guided by the Holy Spirit, and these apostles were chosen to carry this word to God. Now, that's the purpose of them receiving the promise of the Holy Spirit, the miraculous measure of the Holy Spirit. What it did, so it gave them the ability to perform miracles. Simply put, they had to help the people believe. They did not have a Bible like me and you got today. They could not read. They had to see something. And what they saw was signs. And those signs are called miracles. And when they saw the miracle, that's when those unbelievers, when they saw what the apostles were doing, that's when they would believe. So their belief came by seeing. Romans 10:17, faith coming by hearing. For us, we must hear the word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We must preach the word. So my job is to preach the word. Everybody with got ears have to hear what's being preached from the word. Which that's why we're called preachers of the word. Our charge is to preach it in season, out of season. I mean, people want to hear it and they don't want to hear it. James 1:21 says the word is able to save souls. So that's why we see here the apostles there had the ability to lay hands on people that needed to receive that miraculous measure of the Holy Spirit. Now, verse 18. When Simon saw, here come another guy. Simon, he's going to be one of the primary characters of this text. He saw, now he's watching it. Now pay attention. That the laying of who? The apostles' hands. So why didn't Philip do it? Because he couldn't do with the apostles. Why did the apostles leave Jerusalem and go to Samaria? Because they had to do what Philip couldn't do. So only the apostles could lay hands on another person and give them the Holy Ghost. And so when he saw that through the laying on the apostles' hand, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. This is Simon said, I'll pay you all for that with the ability to do what you just did. And he said, give me this power. He saw something. That when they laid hands, he saw them people have power to do some things. He said, give me this power up. Then whomsoever I lay hands, I may receive the Holy Ghost. Now keep in mind, Philip is already in Samaria. He had the power to do holy. He could have done it without the apostles going. What are you saying, Brother Bruce? There are no apostles living today. They did. So if you just use the person next to you, consider yourself an apostle. You lay hand on the next person sitting in your wife and husband, and they got the same power you got. Now you die, you the apostle, you die. That person you lay hands on got that power, but they can't hand it to your child. So it stopped when the person who had the power to give it died. So when the apostles died, no one else could pass on because it wasn't needed anymore. It was only needed to help them finish writing the New Testament. That's the simplest way I can tell you. So when you see people today, and some of them it's amazing what people will believe. You got to believe. You cannot believe. Well, I guess people do. Some folk believe just these miracles that on TV that's really happening when people pushing folk over and turning them over in chairs and they jump up running. Do you believe that's a miracle? Listen, none of that's happening today. It's not happening. Miracles have ceased. There are no need for them. These were only signs for the apostles. Now, I've done this. I've talked about this on several of my sermons in the book of Acts, starting in Acts 2, chapter 1. I talked about the miracles or so. But you need to go back and listen if you can get enough of what I said. This one might be a little more of that. But what we need to understand is this. If you don't obey that book, this book that we're studying from today, you better take heed to everything you're saying. God is not going to come to your house at nighttime and tell you what to do. God had a dream. That didn't come. God don't come through dreams. They come through hearing the word of God and obedience to what God tells you to do through the word, not through a dream. God has no respect for them. You're going to dream to be saved. I'll dream to be saved. We all can be saved the same way. Most people that are going to lose their soul probably, they don't believe in the Bible 100%. They just take the part out. They take Jesus out and leave out in the middle. They'll take Jesus out. They want Jesus. Oh, they believe in Jesus. They don't believe in nothing else in the Bible. Don't believe in taking the Lord's Supper. Don't believe in baptism. Just believe you can sit at your house and be a good person as long as you believe in Jesus. Well, you better pick up the book and start reading. I'm not saying that to make you feel good. I'm saying that there was some urgency that you best decide if you're going to believe in this book right or not before you die, because you don't get to come back. None of us will get to come back and do this over. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to stick with this book. Now, ain't no man going to prove it wrong. They can't prove it wrong. They're not going to prove it wrong because this book continuously proves man wrong over and over again. And it tells us about ourselves. It tells us about ourselves. So that's the message here. So let's go back to verse 18 and then put our focus on Simon as the subject for our thought this morning. And verse 18, let's go back to that. And when Simon saw visual, that through the laying of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given. He offered him money. And he said, give me also this power, that whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. A Simon, like many fake miracle workers today, wanted some power for a wrong reason. He wanted what their parts now. He wanted his power so bad that he was willing to give them some money. But you know the root of all evil is. It's not the money. The root of all evil is the love of it. And I'm not suggesting that that he was necessarily wanting money from it. He was in trickery anyway. Some people just like power, the ability to do something, impress people. You see that going on today. This is the same Simon now who was just converted. This is important. He had just obeyed the gospel. He was converted from sorcery to Christ by Philip. Now look at it. Go back to verse 9, Acts 8. Go back to verse 9. Let's look at this guy. But there was a certain man called Simon. There he is. Which before time in the same city used sorcery, which is magic. It's trickery, that's what it is. And bewitched. What do you call them? Witches. The people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one. He was doing his magical stuff, sorcery, to make the people say, I'm somebody great. So he seen the apostle come aboard. They doing things greater than he could do. So he wants that same power. Now, to whom all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, said, this man is the great power of God. And to him, they had regard. So he was getting attention for it. They thought he had some power from God because of a long time he had bewitched them. He had tricked them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip, see, Philip got something he didn't have. When they believed Philip, or still preaching, the things concerning the kingdom of God, watch this now, in conjunction, the name of Christ, Jesus Christ, kingdom of God, the church, and the Savior of the church and the church of Christ, the church that belonged to Christ, the descriptive phrase of the owner is Christ. He owns the church. And Philip preached him, and he preached the kingdom. So you can't have one without the other. And now, notice this. When he preached that, they were baptized. Mm-hmm. They were what? Baptized. Both men and women. Now watch this. Then Simon, here he comes. He believed in Christ and the kingdom of God. And when he was baptized, so Simon repented. He knew he was tricking folk. Because you know your sin, don't you? Yes, you do. You know when you're lying to people. Yes, you do. You also know when you're telling the truth. No matter what a person says, if you know you're telling the truth, it's the truth. If you know you're lying, it's a lie. So this man knows that what he was doing was wrong. Now, none of us are going to ever repent of something that we don't believe is wrong. Why? There's no need to repent if it's not wrong. If it's wrong, there's a need to repent. So Simon believed the preaching of Jesus, and he was baptized. Jesus said, now, in Mark 16:15, command was this, go to all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That's what Jesus said. So what's obvious to me is that what Philip preached was the death, burial, and resurrection, the gospel, the story of God's love to these people, and his suffering son on the cross in Jerusalem. These people believed it. Simon believed it. And he got baptized. And now, watch this. Verse 13. He continued. He's now a Christian. He's a Christian. You're not a Christian until you get baptized. You're not a Christian until you obey the gospel. Until you believe that Christ and his kingdom, which is what this man was preaching. Until you believe that baptism will save you, you're not going to be saved. 1 Peter 3:21. Baptism does also now save us. Baptism is commanded, Acts 2:38, for the remission of sin. So he stands with Philip, and he knows Philip is preaching. Watch what he said. and wondered. Not only was Philip preaching, he had something that Simon didn't have. He was wondered. He was amazed. He was, what was he amazed at? The miracles. See that? He was amazed at the miracles and signs. Signs. Now remember in Mark 16, when Jesus gave the command, go back over there real quick in Mark 16. And this is why I just quoted, I'm going to start at verse 15. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth in his baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be saved. And these signs, there they are, shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils and shall speak with new tongues. This is all happening right there in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost because of the power of the Holy Ghost. It's not happening anymore. Here's what the signs were. And if you were scared of a snake, then you would believe it too. Watch this. And they shall take up serpents. Now, you see anybody grabbing a rattlesnake? You don't see no folk grabbing rattlesnakes and just throwing a rattlesnake around their neck. But people then could take a snake up. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. You don't see none of these fake people drinking poison. They don't drink cyanide. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Who's he talking to? And so then after the Lord had spoken unto them, who is it then? His disciples. They went forth, not me and you, preaching everywhere, working with them. Here it is, confirming the word with signs. Philip was preaching the word and using miracles to confirm to the listeners what he was telling them was coming from God. That's what the Bible teach. And that's exactly what Simon saw. He saw that this man preached the word, and then he proved himself with a sign, the ability to raise, to do heal people, whatever he was doing in the sight of Simon. And Simon was wondered. He was amazed. Wouldn't you be amazed if you saw Brother Bruce walk in the church building with a rattlesnake around my neck and one hand and the other, and nobody... And they would bite me everywhere, and I was still in it. You'd be amazed, too. Why can't people see this? Why can't people see this? They blind? They blind. If my gospel be healed, he is another lost, and the God of the world blinded their mind. You have to be blind and crazy not to see this. And to know when something is fake. Now, when you look at Acts 8. This is a picture of what was going on at that time. At that time, that's what was happening. This is very important for us today because we need to know this. Somebody, I don't know who's on the call. There may be some Pentecostal people on this call. But they're the one teaching Church of God in Christ, Kojic, they call it. Pentecostals, they call them. These are the people that are teaching this kind of stuff. But y'all is wrong. Now, here's this new convert. This new convert. Just got baptized. New babe in Christ. Fresh out the water. Already making a mistake. Why do you call it a mistake? I'm going to show you. But we need to understand this. And if you're a new convert on this call, meaning new to the church, just been baptized in the last few years, but you haven't been coming to church, you haven't been coming to worship, you have not been going to Bible class, you're not going to grow. And you're going to go back and make some of the same old mistakes that you had done before. Just because somebody is new to the church do not mean they won't make mistakes. We have to expect people who are new to make baby mistakes. This is a mistake by Simon, but it turned into a sin. He had the habit of doing wrong, amazing and tricking people. He had this hunger for power. And that would happen to many people today. They're hungry for power. You see a lot of that in the White House. People are hungry for power. You notice I didn't just say for one person in the White House. We need to be careful, too. When we pray for the world leader, it's all of them, not one particular party over another party. We don't pray for Trump and not for Biden. We pray for any of them. We are not selective in our prayers. We pray for the leadership of the world, even the ones that are not in the United States. And that's something we need to understand. There should be no prejudice in our hearts toward political parties. People are people. Everybody have a soul. Everybody have a soul. Jesus died for every person. What worries me is I hear Christians that are so worried that hate Trump. Y'all hate him. You really rather see him dead, probably. Some of you, the way you talk. And then you got the other side of people, now they hate Biden. Y'all, we can't go to heaven like that. I'm just being very blunt. We are Christians. We are Christians. If nobody else said it to you, I did. Brother Brooks told you. And some of you are being influenced by the TV channel you use. It's influenced by one party or the other. And you think like them because you listen to them. You need to shut your TV off, turn off them at news, and read your Bible. You won't hate no man. Yeah, I said it. Well, I'm not taking it back either. Some of you need to hear it because you're going to lose your soul if you don't change the way you think. This is just the truth. It's the truth, brother. And some of it because we haven't grown spiritually. That's the problem, man. That's why I'm glad Brother Stroud. I'm talking some evangelistic more messages in the morning, but Brother Stroud is talking about Christian living in the afternoon. You know, we don't have as many people on the afternoon call as we do in the morning call. And those folk are not going to grow like this year. You're not going to grow. If you're on the call and you're not getting on, and you're new to the church, you need to be on, you don't need to be on a Brother Foreman's call. You need to be on the first principal call. For new converts, for people new to the church, and even some of us who've been in the church a long time that never went to Bible classes, you still or have not been properly taught. Many new people to the church, and new don't mean, mature does not mean because you're 60, you know everything. If you get baptized at 60, you're still a baby as a Christian. You're not a grown person as a Christian. And some people come into the church because they up in age, they feel like, well, I got need to be in the outdoor class. Well, you need to be in the new convert class. You need to know the first principle. But here's what Peter said. We are to desire, 1 Peter 2, to the sincere milk of the word. So God view people who are new to the church as babies. And babies don't grow without milk. You never see a child come from his mother's womb with teeth. We put milk in their mouth because they can't handle nothing solid. And we start out with just a liquid, and then we start crunching, doing a little smushed up stuff in the baby food, which looks gross to me, but it's good to them babies because they can swallow it. Now what are you saying, Brother Brooke? That's the same thing God is doing when it comes to children of God, like Simon, who came out of the water and made this mistake. Why? He's a baby. That's why he's a baby. And babies, we put diapers on them because they don't even know how to use restrooms. They don't know yet. You have to potty train them. And so Christians have to be potty trained. They do. And that's the same concept. This is the Bible. In Hebrews 5 and verse 12. Some of you shook up on what I said about political party problem. But that's okay. Shake it off. Shake it off. You need to be told. Shake it off. Just shake it off. Think about your soul. And be thankful I told you. Now evaluate yourself. Hebrews 5:12. Notice this. Turn your Bible there. Listen to this. Because I'm telling you, I've been in church 37 years now. And I've been teaching people for many years. And I can listen to the language of people and tell them they're babies in Christ. He said, Robert, 30 years, you're a baby. You still call the preacher your pastor. That tells me you did not go to New Covenant class. You know I'm not a pastor if you've been taught that. If you don't know, you're going to make that basic baby mistake. I'm not your pastor. And if you don't went to New Covenant in the beginning, you didn't learn these basics. And that's what I'm doing with the Nationwide Call, bringing on basic stuff. Why? Because that's what most people miss. But the Hebrew writer said, for when, for the time, you ought to be teachers, and this is what some of the brothers in the church should have been. You ought to be a teacher by now. Sister should be a teacher by now. You have need for one to teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. There it is, first principle. And are become such as have need of milk. There it is again. And not a strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a baby. He's a baby. That's why when people call me, brother, I'm trying to teach my children. I'm trying to teach this person. Well, you can't teach if you ain't been taught how to teach. That's why some people can't save anyone because they're unskillful. You don't have the skills to teach. What am I going to do? What am I going to do about my family? The first thing you do is live right before them. That's the first teaching. And then you go get taught how to teach. That's the same thing you did when it came to going to school. You went to elementary school. You had to go to a teacher. Took you 12 years to get through that process. You don't see a first grader teaching. You don't see a fifth grader teaching. You won't see a 10th grader teaching unless it's grade below him or her, because you got to go through those basics. Then in verse 14, notice what's strong. Man. This is what happens to some people when they get in. They don't want to go to Bible class. They don't want to go to the new baby class because I know it. But here's what happens. Strong meat belongs to them at a full age. Now, I couldn't have ate a ribeye at 1 year old, 2 year old, 3 year old, 4 year old, 5 year old, 6 year old, 7 year old. You might be starting eating by then. But you don't eat no baby, you don't eat no ribeye. That's strong meat. And just, some of you can't handle the Word of God being taught to you because you don't know the basics. You say, brother, let me just say something. If the word, if the shoe fit, put it on. No matter what I say. If it don't fit, you know, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to the people who can't handle strong. People think that, oh, that's deep. You got to have a deep lesson. You know how many people can get deep in the Bible? You know how many people who've been taught? And even those who have been taught, as Jesus was the deepest, most wise teacher of all. But you know what he taught? Simple, basic lessons. How corn grew up in the ground. He taught simple lessons. He didn't teach over the heads of the people. That's one of the things I've taught in the ministry program. Preachers who come through my program. And man, when I tell them this, When I'm sitting in the audience listening to you, and you try to go use a Greek word when you can't even pronounce a good English word, that don't impress me. You kind of like sound, but you just want some power. That's not impressive. Using big old words, fancy words that most people don't even know, have to get the dictionary out to learn them. You trying to save a soul. That's what the purpose of preaching is to save souls. Not to be used flattering words and say, ooh, man, he was deep. I've heard people say that. So what are you saying? What does that mean? He said things everybody can't understand? So you're impressed with that? No, here I think of people like my daddy, who had a sixth grade education, and my mother, who wasn't very educated. That's what I tell them, young men. I'm sitting out there thinking about my daddy. He couldn't understand what you were talking about. You going up there trying to use a Greek word. And then you got the people who have never heard the truth. The second person I use to teach them that is that is my little brother who didn't know what to do to be saved. You don't tell you hear preachers today, don't even tell the people what to do to be saved. I mean, what are you preaching? And then those of you who can't teach, you should get someone else to teach for you. You are not skillful. That's why people are not listening. You're confusing people. You're teaching things you don't know how to teach. You got someone you're trying to save, you take that as a precious moment and get a skilled teacher on the call with you. And a man did that with me the other night. Said, well, brother, what do you think? The Bible says, 2 Timothy 2:15, here's what it says. Study to show thyself approved. Why the word study? Because you have to be a student. Brother says, if we ever need to teach the truth, basically, now, people are dying and they don't know basic truth. They do not know that they got to be baptized. They don't know this. God doesn't hear sinners' prayer. Some of them think they can go to heaven hating people because of the color of their skin. That's somebody who needs to be taught differently. When a person is taught differently, that person can take that milk and swallow it, and it won't choke them. And so people are confused when you try to teach people all these different things, what I call water hoses in my personal evangelism. Or you get somebody, you want to teach them why we don't have instruments. You want to teach them about the Old Testament. You want to teach them about the New Testament. They don't even know what to do to be saved. They don't even know about baptism for the reason. Yet we want to get into all this mechanical instruments. Some people don't care about that. All they want to know, what do we got to do to be saved? He said, I call that just giving water, blowing them down with a whole bunch of information and just confusing people. God is not the author of confusion for the people. Now, why did I spend time there? Because listen to how Peter advised this new babe. In Acts 8, verse 20, and what I'm hoping from this evening, some of you all who have been avoiding the afternoon service, feel like you've done enough just by getting on there, and if it can't get no more convenient than this, you ain't even got to drive to the building. That's what some people try to order it, that what we're doing wrong, because people are not going to the building. But I don't entertain those conversations much. But there's no reason why you can't get on for 30 minutes this afternoon and let Brother Stroud talk to you about how to live the life. I'm talking to you more about the importance of being saved from the book of Acts. Every person on this call who calls himself a Christian should be back on at 3:30. Why? You know, I know. I see the numbers. So I know who called back. And don't stop calling because I know. I'm not going to call you. Man, don't worry about it. But I'm going to show you in a minute that it's not me you need to be worried about. But you can't say you weren't told. You can't say none of y'all can. And this is something I'm really making sure I do. And I'm applying to myself too. I don't want nobody to listen to me that didn't say I didn't shoot straight with. I don't want you standing up there on judgment by me saying, I didn't know. Bert Brooks didn't tell me. Yes, I did. Everything I think is wrong, I'm going to tell you. You should do me the same way. Why? Our souls are at stake. Now look what Peter advised this guy. He said unto him, your money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. But thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter. For here it is, here come a time. For thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Thy heart is not right in the sight of God. The problem with Simon was his mind, his heart. You know what all of our problems are? You know what they start at? In our thinking. In the way we think. The person that's thinking right now is the person God looking at. 1 Samuel 16:7. God don't look on the outward appearance. You mark this in your Bible. And man see, you don't see the good books that God sees. For God looking on the heart. I mean, God, look at my thoughts. Thoughts lead to action. But the sin happens when you think. Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinketh in his heart. That heart there is the thinking part. You thinking about what I said about politics. You thinking about you hate Trump. You thinking about that now. You thinking about you don't get on the afternoon call. God see your thought, and you justifying it. He see that. So just know this. The top of your skull is cut open. And God sees everything. It's nothing secret. That's a scary thought. You cannot hide from God. He sees every thought you have. And we better do some things about our thoughts. Because Peter said to him, repent. Repent of this. I give it to you simply. When you go in the wrong direction in your thoughts, you got to turn around and go the other direction. That's a decision that you only make in your head. That's what this lesson is about. It's not me that you got a problem with when you can't believe the Bible. It's God. It's God and you. It's God and you, my friend. And you will give an account. And I will give an account to my thoughts until we repent. Jesus said in Luke 13:3, I tell your name, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Is it? Until a person repents, they're going to perish, meaning they're going to lose their soul. That is why this lesson right here is the main focus of what I want us to give God. You know, so you see what comes out the mouth goes into the heart. So you listen to people talk, you listen to them so caught up in stuff that they just get angry. Why? Because there's hatred in your heart. That's why you're angry. But Hebrews 4:12, the Bible said the word of God will cut all that out. The word of God is quick, is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner. Watch it. Of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Thoughts and intents. What do you intend to do with that thought? Are you going to act on that thought? Don't nobody know what I'm thinking. Nobody know what I'm thinking. You're wrong. See, in verse 13, he says, neither is there any creature, when God is the creator, you're the creature, that is not manifest, that word manifest, made known, in his sight. Watch it now. All things are naked. There's no way to cover it up. And open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Do you know what God has saw in your mind already? Brother Proof. Yeah. How gross you, in all of us, that's why the song Amazing Grace can fit. How sweet the sound to say the wretch like me. It started with a wretched thought. That's how we lead to sin. We're naked, open, and nasty looking in our brains. I do. I remember what we have to do. Now, what you got to do? He says, Simon, your heart is wrong. it's a problem. It's in the sight of God. God, see, you want this. You want this gift. You think you can buy it with money. He said, repent. Don't know who he called it. Wickedness. And pray. God, if perhaps the thought of thy heart may be forgiven. For I perceive thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. This guy was in trouble. He's a newcomer. Notice what Peter told him. Pray. He told him to pray with him. He said, well, brother, thou God in here, sinner, pray. See, what we only know is that when a person becomes a Christian and get washed in the blood, that gives you the ability to have a bad thought and ask God to forgive you at the same time. And I'll just give you the scripture on there here in a minute. But before that, let me plant some other thoughts in your mind. Let me plant some thoughts. Let me put some stuff in your head. That we look at, we start looking at gall of bitterness. He in the gall of bitterness. Wow, Peter came back and then told him straight up what his problem was, that he's wicked. He said, and your money gonna perish with you because you don't have this thought. You ain't got nothing to do with this. These gifts of the Holy Spirit, your heart is not right. The purchase, you think you can purchase what God gives with money? You can't have no part in this? He tells you that. His heart was in a bad place. This one sin that this man has done, he's telling him, this is wicked thinking. Bitterness. When he says the gall of bitterness, he said that, he says, I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness. We found out the gall of bitterness was the gall of reptiles, which for them, it was considered a source of venom, deadly stuff. The expression denotes moral corruption when you're in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. In other words, you're bonded by, or just in a bond, boom, like you put handcuffs on, by iniquity, meaning a law that you came up with that is not the law of God. I never told you to buy this, Simon. That's you wanting to do it. See, so when you start thinking of people, this is what God sees some of us. And at some point, all of us can have some bad things. None of us is good. Me, you, nobody else. Nobody is good, y'all. We all got the same issue. We got a brain. And the ability to think, and we have free will. God allows us to decide what we want to do. Not thinking about what God is noticing. It's like we don't even think God knows I was thinking like that. Don't even say, Lord, forgive me. So there are people who don't want to attend Bible class. They're not going to worship, be faithful to worship service. They're not going to be keeping their vows to God. Going back to the world, doing things that you were doing before you got baptized, you're back doing it. You're back into fornication, back into adultery. You're back into drinking, partying, just done all of that. And all of it started with a thought. It started with a thought. You had to think about it before you could do it. And that's when your thought led to action. You're unfaithful. And some of you, the way you treat your wives, just hateful and mean. Some of your wives are just mean and hateful to your husband. in the thoughts of one another. Thoughts of one another. Thoughts about other people who have done you so wrong. You don't get away with that thought. Nobody hung you on no cross. You're not going to get away with thoughts of hating people. Some of you not thinking right when it comes to what your duties as a man of the home, as a father, who should love his wife and love his children, and as a mother, a wife, who should submit to her husband. Some of you wives so disrespectful to your husband, talk back to him like he's a child. You can't get away with that. And men who abuse their wives physically, mentally, spiritually, sexually, they didn't get away with that stuff. None of you getting away. None of us are going to get away with anything like that. And it all starts with the way you think. There are people watching pornography. What you think you're putting in your mind? That's the sad thing about the internet. It gives access to all this kind of stuff now. What are you looking at on TV? What kind of rated R movies do you watch? Did you cussing with them? When they cuss, you cuss in your mind? You got to think about some of the movies you're watching. That stuff is going into the head. It's going into your mind. And that's why you see even people acting out. When you see all this stuff going on TV right now with all the violence and things like that. People acting out. Acting out the thoughts. It's in the sight of God. It's in the sight of God. I'm trying to plant some seeds. I'm trying to pull up some stuff in your head just to look at how you look to God. You left your children. I had all these babies. Don't even want to pay your child support, man. What are you thinking? Men just walk away from their children, leave them. The mothers have to take care of their children by themselves. Them men ain't going to get away with this. It's the way you're thinking, bro. Go get your child to take care of them. Do your duty. Be a man. How are we going to save our children? Not by continuing giving in to them and letting them do whatever they want to do. Some of us don't even want to discipline our children anymore. Those thoughts are going to lead them to do a whole lot of other stuff. That's why some of you can't handle your teenagers because you wouldn't discipline them when they were children. I ain't going to do them like my mama. Your mama whooped you and you needed it. Just like I needed it. They didn't kill us. They did what God told them. Put a rod on them. All you do is take the telephone away. When are you going to spank him? Oh, I don't spank my children. Okay. Just let him watch TV then. That'll teach him how to kill somebody. We have to think about what's going on in these children here when you buy these games for them, these video games that they're playing all night long because the TV become the parent. And the Xbox. And they said, no, they're killing and shooting people all over and screaming all over TV all night long. And you sit there and laugh at it. What's going into that child's head? Something he's going to think. Something he's going to have a thought about. And something he's going to act out on. I can just keep going. But this is... Maybe you're a long time member. I'm talking to people that have been in church a long time still thinking like this kind of stuff that I've been talking about this morning. I have come up with a whole lot of stuff. But then when it comes to ministries and working at the church, somebody said, well, Brother Brooke, the people that now just taking advantage of this online service, those same people was coming to church late every Sunday. They had no respect or regard for the service that started at 9 o'clock. You see a flood of people running in at 9:15, 9:20 to get their communion. You think they're going to be any different on the call? This didn't just change because of the call. These people was thinking like that before they got on the call. They didn't come to church every Sunday. They came when they felt like coming. This call didn't change the people. Their hearts were there anyway. Some brother sent me a long article. That was happening before now. These same people who don't get on 3:30 wasn't coming back to afternoon service at the building either. Because their thoughts is, I don't need it. Those of us who were faithful then, we're faithful on this call, we're going to be faithful to it when we get back to the building. People who are going to be faithful are going to be faithful. People who don't want to be faithful are not going to be faithful. People who don't want to obey are not going to be obeyed. People who don't want to get baptized are not going to get baptized until their thoughts change. And God see your thoughts. Yeah. What's going on here? When our heart is not right in the sight of God, that's the key point I'm making. Your thought will lead to action that will disappoint God and lead you to sin. So Peter told him, repent therefore of thy wickedness and pray God, for perhaps that thought of thy heart may be forgiven. Thank God for forgiveness. I perceive that I are in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. The first step to get right in the head is to repent. Make a decision this morning. Make a decision on this call. Make a decision right now as you're listening to me. And brother, I need to get my heart right. I need to get baptized and stop thinking about this stuff. Man, you got over 300,000 cases today, yesterday recorded of the coronavirus. Thousands of people are dying from this COVID, and they're getting infected. And how you know? You look at these people on these ventilators laying in them ICU. I don't want no part of that myself. I know you don't. I know I don't. But that's not the problem. The COVID is not the problem. The problem is seeing it. It's deadly. The whole world got it. That's the problem. Dying ain't the problem. Dying in your sins is the problem. And you know what? You don't have no problem asking God to forgive you every day, all day, every thought you have, ask for forgiveness. But no sense of playing with it if you ain't repenting. You just know you need time. No sense of acting like you're repenting when you know you haven't. Well, I'll pray for you. You know you ain't sinning. How you going to pray for me? So, first step, make a decision, get right. Repent and then ask for forgiveness. That's only to Christians. Those of you who have never been baptized, you can't take this step. Your first step is to be baptized. Now, Peter knew something about Simon, but it was a will for sin on Simon's part. So he told him what to do. That privilege is only afforded to people after they're baptized. And we know that willful sins separate us, Hebrews 10:25, the following verses. And we know that God does not hear a sinner's prayer, John 9:31. And we know from the Bible that the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. So there's an eye that has the sight. And the sight of God is the eyes of God. It's over the righteous. Notice this. And his ears are open to their prayers. Not the man who did, not the person who don't repent. The person who's right, what they done was right in the sight of God. First step of what's right is being baptized. After you become a Christian, then what's right to stay righteous must continue to stay in the light. 1 John 1:6, here it is. If we say that we have fellowship with him, if walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light being following the word of God, the word of God is light. It's a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. He is in the light. We have fellowship one with another. Notice this. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses that ETH on the end of cleansing means a continuing cleansing all through your life, all through your day. From all sin. But if we say we have no sin, now here you come. And deceive ourselves, the truth is not in us anyway. You go, I don't need that. I don't have to ask you. Yeah. But he said, but if we confess our sins, if we say, oh, Lord, I'm sorry, I know I'm guilty, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. After we repent. The repent is the first step. You got to repent of hating people because of color skin. If you don't, you're going to die like that. In a gall of bitterness. That's why racism is so wrong. And all these people that are killing people because they're cutting their skin are going to give an account to God. But they got a soul that needs to be saved. Our job is to preach to them in love. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar. So his word is not in us. The word of God teaches us what sin is. This is why you need to be a child of God. And you need forgiveness. And the last thing in closing, Acts 8:24, Simon answered. This is Simon's response. He said, pray to the Lord for me. He humbled himself and realized he had messed up. That none of these things we have spoken about here. Ecclesiastes 12:13, Bible says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. We are to fear God and keep his commandments. But this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment, which did everything he saw, with every secret thing, whether it be good or evil. Secret meaning that you thought was hid. You're not hid in the sight of God. Simon wasn't satisfied with just praying for himself. He humbled himself, recognized his wrong. Yeah, Peter, can you pray for me? Somebody on the call this morning may need to repent and be baptized. Or maybe you need to repent and just pray for them as a member of the church. It's not important to us. Really, it's not in our sight. It doesn't matter. If you say, Brother, I've seen it. That's not our business, what you've done. What is business is to you, God, because you ain't telling him something you don't already know. What he's saying, okay, you're good enough to confess it, I'll forgive it. But if you ain't going to admit it, you ain't going to get no forgiveness. Confession is just admitting, not that God didn't see it. He saw it. He knew your heart was not right in his sight. You need to repent and pray. And then others who just want us to pray the Lord for you because you haven't repented, but you don't want to die like that. You just hope God gives you some more time. And you know what? Nothing wrong with praying for grace and mercy and long suffering. Pray for them. Ask for prayer. Lord, give me merciful to me. And let God be one who will help me. So, what is the answer to this problem? You put more word in your mind than you do trash. Trash in, trash out. So, you take your brain like a file cabinet, start filing some Bible in there. Turn off CNN and Fox and NBC. Turn that off and file some scripture. Maybe turn off the news and file some scripture in there. The news has nothing good to tell us, y'all. It's always a bunch of stuff on there that don't even to disturb people. That's the intent of the devil to disturb us so we can act like the devil. Because he got us there. Because he knows God's here in our thoughts, man. We need to be real careful with our children, too. Real careful. Our children are getting slammed with information that ain't coming from the Bible. What kind of parent are you if you don't think that about that? What kind of grandparent are you if you don't think about getting your kids more into studies of the Word of God? Come back on this afternoon. Mr. Stroud will talk more about us on this evening. Mr. Stroud will talk about don't be ashamed of suffering as Christians. Some of the suffering that we're going to go through will be as Christians. Being a Christian is a blessing. But there's a suffering that comes with it. If you want to call this morning, I spoke the truth in love. I said some tough things. I know that, but that's this kind of person that I do feel. It apply to me just like it do to you. I have to put the shoe on too. And I hope you know that about me. I don't say nothing. I don't say anything to be mean. I'm not saying anything to be mean to anybody. But sometimes we have to be just told straight up truth. That's the kind of preacher I want to be known as. There's a lot of options out there, y'all. Everybody can't handle this kind of preacher. If you're on a call this morning and you're not a Christian, remember what I talked about the gospel, how Jesus suffered for you. God loved you. Jesus suffered a tremendous death. Had to wear a crown of thorns. Had to be beaten. Had to be crowned a tree up the hill called Calvary. It had to have the nails executed by crucifixion. All that for you to save you from your sin, because you can't save yourself. And that's God's love for the world, John 3:16. And Jesus loved the world so much he gave his only life. Gave his life. Hebrews 5 said, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience. He was obedient to his father's will. By things which he suffered. He became the author of eternal salvation. All of them obey him. Will you obey him this morning? How do you obey him, Brother Bruce? By hearing. Number one, step one, hear the gospel. Acts 15 and verse 7. What's the gospel? 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. What you got to do next? Same verse, Acts 15, 7. Hear the word of the gospel and believe. The gospel is included in the word. You got to preach the cross. You got to tell people what to do. Your heart got to be changed because of what God did for you, how ugly you were in his sight, and how beautiful Jesus is to you. Then when you love God, you'll love his son. When you love his son, you'll obey his son. Then after you do that, you hear and you believe, you repent. Luke 13:3. And notice this, God is not slack concerning his promise. Some men count slackness. He's long-suffering. Us were not willing that any of us should perish. So we all come to repentance. Yeah, he's not willing that we perish. He wants to come to repentance. That's why some of us are still living. And he's giving us time. He's not slack. With his promise, he's not going to change his mind on judgment, though. He's waiting for us to come to repentance. After you repent, then you got to make a confession. Acts 8:37, that confession says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You have to do that in front of people. You can do it on this call. You say, well, I want to be baptized this morning. Can I make my confession? Yes, you can. We can all hear you. As long as we can hear you, you have made a confession before me. You can say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. After that, we'll baptize you. We'll get you to the building. Wherever you are, I listen on, we'll get you baptized. And then after that, you got to live faithful, like I just talked about. You be a baby crying. When you go down under water, you hold your breath. When you come up, you take your first breath as a child of God, as a baby in Christ. And then you go to Bible class and grow. That's how you grow. Go drink milk. Don't try to start with no meat. Go get some milk. And the milk is taught by people who don't strong meat. That's like Michael Former, who was teaching. Brother Brooks, Brother Stroud. We're supposed to be on strong meat. All of our teachers, all of the teachers, all of them. They're teaching our Bible class. Many of our sisters are great teachers. They are strong. They can teach. You got to be taught. Amen. I hope you enjoyed the lesson. Brother Curry, I guess you better sing a song, Lois. This is a pretty tough one. But if you're on the call this morning, I want you to come to the Lord. We're getting ready to sing the song of encouragement. What I want you to do, if you want to make a confession, if you have a prayer request, or you want to be baptized, just remember, if you're not a member of the Church of Christ, you are not saved. And you have to be a member of the Church of Christ to be saved, and you're not going to be a member until you obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Then we will baptize you, and you become a faithful member of the Lord's church. At this time, let's sing some of